Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, but wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, go to rmfp.com. Said it on the show yesterday, and I'm going to repeat it right now. I understand we are into Broncos training camp, but the NBA draft is tonight. Free agency has started in the NHL, and the trade deadline is tomorrow in baseball. And we have a lot of things going on at this moment, and I will start it with something that has nothing to do with those three topics: Major League Baseball, hockey, or basketball. We will start with college football, and this has to do with the SEC. According to the Southeastern Conference, the presidents and chancellors voted unanimously on Thursday to extend membership invitations to Oklahoma and Texas to join the SEC starting July 1st, 2025, with competition to begin in all sports in the 25-26 season. In the meantime, we have other breaking news to talk about, this coming out of the NBA. And according to multiple reports, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Washington Wizards are close to consummating a deal that will send Russell Westbrook to LA to team up with LeBron James and that other big guy in the middle. He's pretty good. Anthony Davis. And in return, the Wizards are going to get Montrezl Harrell. Yay. They're going to get Kuzma. Yay. And a first-round draft pick. Loading up the Lakers. But what do I think this believes potentially for the Nuggets? Besides the fact that they just got pushed down a couple of rungs on the ladder.
This is pain.
Again. Right? Mm-hmm. Again, we keep talking about their window being open. It just got closed a little tighter with those three future Hall of Famers on the Lakers. However, Bradley Beal has 1 year left on his deal. I read a report, a pretty good report where, and what do I mean by that? Pretty reputable report, okay, that Bradley Beal doesn't like the hire of Wes Unseld Jr. He wanted Sam Cassell, but he hasn't demanded a trade yet. Now that Westbrook is likely going to the Lakers, Bradley Beal may say, you know what, just get me the hell out of here, trade me to someone. And then, what we've been talking about, will Tim Connelly be interested in Bradley Beal enough where not only do they trade for him, having to give up either Murray or MPJ, and signing Beal to an extension, which would likely be the max.
Yeah, you can't do this sort of thing without an extension. Now, the thing that comes into play is there going to be competition? The team that comes up most often in the discussion here is Golden State. And sometimes you make moves not only to bolster yourself, but to keep a rival or a potential foe, an obstacle, from getting that guy. Remember one of the things we talked about with Aaron Rodgers when it looked like he might be available in the NFL, mm-hmm. is that it's not just about the Broncos upgrading their quarterback if he's available with Rodgers. It is about keeping him from being a Raider.
Right.
That it's got double value here. In this case, it would be the same thing. If you bring in Bradley Beal, if he's available, it's not just about you getting him. It's keeping him from somebody else. Now, that being said, all it would do is give you a chance. The Lakers would still be the favorite.
Here's the thing. If Bradley Beal is indeed going to be traded to Golden State, it needs to happen tonight.
Yes.
Because Golden State has the 7th and the 14th pick, and what else are they going to really have to offer? Washington's going to want to make their own pick. So if Bradley Beal is not traded to Golden State tonight, I think that the Nuggets would probably have the most to offer. Because, whether it be Murray or MPJ, that's why. With that, we're going to be talking to Mike Singer of the Denver Post about more about this probably in the next, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 minutes. Also, the NBA draft is tonight. The Nuggets are expected to take a point guard, certainly to replace Jamal Murray short term, but they need somebody in there, especially if Will Barton does not come back.
And there's buzz about them trading up potentially as well. We'll get into that.
Correct. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Okay, you and I were both at practice today. We both had a chance to watch the quarterback competition. Part two, Bridgewater against Locke. You had the bird's eye view. I had the field angle. What did you see? I'm guessing we saw the same thing, just at different angles.
Yeah, we saw Teddy Bridgewater be the better quarterback. And it's not that Teddy was spectacular. He, you know, he took what was there.
Steady
Teddy. He had a nice little 20-yard completion to Tim Patrick early in practice. Did a good job leading him. Patrick outstretched. He was just past Kareem Jackson, and Kyle Fuller made the play. Set him up nicely. But mostly it was Steady Teddy. The thing about this steadiness was he was under pressure a lot, because you saw Vic Fangio dial up some different rushes, bring some A-gap pressure. Bridgewater responded to that almost flawlessly. Drew Locke got into some trouble dealing with the pressure, and if not for completing 3 touchdown passes in 1 final red zone period over 2 stretches there, this would have been a really bad day for Drew Locke. The pressure was cranked up. He was facing the first team defense in 7-on-7, so the coverage was cranked up, and he was actually very lucky to get out of there today without having a turnover.
I was talking to some media guys on the sidelines today, and this is what Teddy Bridgewater reminds me of. I know that you have played tennis in the past. I played competitive tennis growing up.
I still try to play whenever, but I'm not very good.
Teddy Bridgewater is that guy standing at the baseline that no matter how hard you hit it, he's like a wall. He just keeps knocking it back to you. You try and get good angles, he just keeps knocking it back. And eventually, you have to start taking more chances in order to beat that wall, because you know that wall is going to keep returning the ball to you. We call him Steady Teddy because it rhymes. But the truth is, he is steady. He doesn't do anything spectacular. He had a beautiful pass to Tim Patrick for a touchdown. He completes the pass almost all of the time. Drew Locke is so up and down. And even though he didn't throw any picks today, right?
Could have easily had a couple.
Could have, but he didn't.
Yes.
But they will look at the tape and say, well, that thing could have been picked off.
Right.
We are seeing what we've already known, which is Teddy Bridgewater is not going to be some great quarterback for you. He's going to be consistent, not consistently bad, and not consistently great. But he's going to be good enough. And as for Drew Locke, I think eventually he's going to feel he's going to have to take some risks. He talked about it yesterday at practice. I don't want to be known as a gunslinger. I want to be known as a gunslinger who takes calculated risks. Well, already he is starting to fall behind at training camp. And this is going to be a compilation of practices. And if Locke has a few days that aren't very good and Steady Teddy keeps doing what he's doing, nothing spectacular, but nothing to hurt him, eventually all that stuff is going to add up where Locke is going to have to take some major chances in order to flash and say, I need to be the guy because I have the highest upside.
Well, he's got to have those wow throws, the stuff where you say, oh, that's the arm talent flashing. And the arm talent today led to a couple of overthrows. And in fact, it was interesting. Drew got into a funk and had a string of incompletions started in a 7-on-7 period against the first team defense when he was trying to wing it in there, and there was nothing there, and it was incompletion. And then I believe there was no throw at one point. And it looked like they tried to kind of rebuild his confidence by having him go out there against the second team. And he goes out there, and it's against the twos, but he's got Tim Patrick, he's got Courtland Sutton, and he overshoots them both. And when that happened, among the media that I was watching it with up top, it's sort of like, oh God, he's out of sync.
Yep.
He's out of whack. And the thing for any quarterback is this: if you get out of sync, if you have a bad throw, are you able to quickly turn it around, kind of contain the damage and move on and get back on track? And Drew Lock, while his peaks have been great to this point in his career, one thing that we have seen is too often with him, one mistake becomes two, becomes three, becomes inaccuracy. And we saw that again today.
I grew up a huge boxing fan, and I don't know if you remember this fight. And I was so upset at the outcome. And I was upset at the outcome because of the way the judges scored the fight. This was back in the 1980s. It was Sugar Ray Leonard against Marvin Hagler. And Marvin Hagler was doing a number on Sugar Ray Leonard. But in the final 30 seconds of every round, and Sugar Ray talked about it in his post-game fight press conference, he said, I needed to put on the show, a show in the final 30 seconds to impress upon the judges that I won that round. And he did. And he wound up winning the fight. But anybody who clearly watched the fight knew that the first 2:30 of every single round, Hagler was winning. But Sugar Ray won the final 30 seconds to leave a lasting impression in the judge's mind, falsely in my opinion, who won the round. That is like what we saw today. Steady Teddy all day. Locke wasn't good until the final basic team series in which he threw three touchdowns.
We've seen this in games. Remember the Falcon game last year? Didn't really do much of anything until the last 7 minutes where they were behind three scores. And then the last 7 minutes of that game looked great. But then the next week went back out there, same problems.
The way it stands right now, I don't think Fangio, Shurmur, or Shula are going to judge this quarterback competition like the judges did for Leonard against Hadler. They're going to look at the entire practice. And if we're being completely honest here, and I desperately want to see Drew succeed because I think he has more upside.
It's better for the team.
But the truth is, he still hasn't shown he can process information quickly enough to make quick decisions. And if we're being completely honest here, everybody has their favorites. Bridgewater's been the better quarterback overall.
He is, and Bridgewater was the better quarterback last year over the course of the season.
That's right.
And two quick things.
Yes.
Or actually one quick thing. It's two incompletions that Bridgewater's thrown in the last 2 days.
Right.
One was a deep ball off Tyree Cleveland's hand, potentially catchable.
Yep.
The other was a drop by Royce Freeman today.
Also, one more thing of note, Calvin Anderson started for the second straight day at right tackle. Coming up after the break, NBA draft is tonight. Also, major trade in the NBA that you can make the case. Just mail them the trophy. I know what Milwaukee did, but mail them the trophy. And this trade could also directly affect the Nuggets in a positive way. How's that? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about my friend Dan McKenzie at McKenzie Law. I procrastinated about doing my estate plan and my living will for a long time. And listen, I'm in my 50s, and you never know what can happen. And I procrastinated about it for a long time. And I'm like, you know what? I better do something about it. And I talked to a lot of different attorneys, and I finally said, you know what? Dan feels like the right fit for me. He was patient, explained everything. My fiance worked with him as well. And, you know, once the process was over, I felt this great sense of relief that, you know, if something does happen, if Andrew gets upset with, you know, one of my takes on one of the Broncos quarterbacks, and God forbid something happens and I'm not breathing anymore,
what?
At least I know my kids are taken care of. That's what's important to me, just in case Mace goes mental. With that, go to the McKenzieFirm.com. That's McKenzieFirm.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to RMFP.com.
I don't know if this is a case of COVID or not, with everything kind of being, you know, moved around on the calendar, but I cannot remember in sports history, over 3 days, you have the start of NHL free agency, the NBA draft the next day, and then the Major League Baseball trading deadline the following day, all the while NFL training camp has just started.
It's just kind of one of the last effects of COVID on the schedule, which will probably get back to normal here in the next 12 months. But this is kind of the end of the COVID alterations of the schedule.
And as I said before, there are other stations in town that are going to talk, you know, Broncos training camp all the time, and I get it. But listen, Max Scherzer is about to get traded. That's a huge story. We will talk about that later on in the show. Peter McNabb is going to come on the show later on in the program to talk about the big moves with the Avalanche. And right now, thrilled to bring in Mike Singer of the Denver Post, covers the Nuggets. And boy, timely to have you on right now, because you and I talked about this about an hour and a half ago. I said to you, hey, Mike, there are rumblings that Russell Westbrook could be going to the Lakers. And you said there was another report that Buddy Hield could be going to the Lakers, basically with the same package from the Lakers going to Sacramento or either Washington. Now it looks like it's going to be with the Wizards, and Westbrook is going to LA. How does that affect the landscape of the NBA, and how could this potentially affect the Nuggets if Bradley Beal says, you know what, I've had it, move me?
Man, there's a lot to unpack there, but I'll start with this. I think most people around the NBA, when the initial report came out from ESPN that the Lakers were involved in a deal with the Kings to send Buddy Hield to the Lakers, I think that ultimately that was more scary than the idea of Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers to pair with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. The reason I say that is because there is not going to be any room on that floor for LeBron James to operate. And Russell Westbrook's going to get his 17, 18 shots a game, dominate the ball, and I can almost envision them butting heads already if that trade does indeed happen. As it pertains to the Nuggets, like we talked about, there was a two-week span this year where they thought they were championship contenders. And now, in the wake of Jamal Murray's ACL tear, everything's kind of cloudy. Everything's kind of cloudy until he comes back. Probably around March or April. So I can't say how it affects the Nuggets in terms of what their ceiling is. They are trying to operate, kind of as if everything's normal. They are trying to bring back a lot of their guys. They are, in my opinion, likely going to try to get a shooting guard in tonight's draft to try to supplement their backcourt that got exposed in the postseason. So there's a ton of moving parts. You know, when you listed off the schedule of all the sporting events, you failed to mention that NBA free agency is 2 days after all of this.
That's right.
So, I got to defend my turf a little bit.
I didn't mean to leave you out in the cold, Mike. I didn't mean to leave you out in the cold.
It's all good. It's hot as hell. There's nobody being left out in the cold.
There you go.
I'm all good. But, so it's going to be a crazy night. It's going to be a crazy 3-4 days covering the Nuggets. That would be my initial reaction to the moves preceding the draft tonight.
And a lot of times when those of us who don't cover the Nuggets every day like you do, a lot of times the notion of title window, championship window comes up. If the Lakers make this move, yes, it could be kind of a chemistry disaster like you alluded to, but if the Lakers do make this move, and with the Jamal Murray injury hanging over, do the Nuggets need to think less about championship window in the moment and more about kind of maybe a year or two beyond?
I don't think so, because frankly they only have one more year as the roster looks right now of Aaron Gordon. That was their big deal last season. I'm not saying Aaron Gordon's a world beater, and I'm not saying Aaron Gordon changed their trajectory this past postseason. Frankly, had an underwhelming postseason. But just because moves happen You know, that doesn't mean that you don't continue to go for it. You give yourself the best opportunity. I mean, the Suns came out of nowhere this year. The Jazz came out of nowhere. Milwaukee, they hadn't achieved what they did. So I don't think just because one team is loading up, and again, I think teams were more, it was kind of an exhale when it wasn't healed and it was more Westbrook. To me, I think the Nuggets are operating, like I said, as normal. I think they want to try to bring back Will Barton and you know, then try to re-sign Jermichael Green, as I've reported. Those two things, I think there's a decent chance that are going to happen. And then they're not going to have a lot of room to operate just because of salary cap constraints, but this is still a really good team with a reigning MVP and a rising superstar in Michael Porter. And, you know, the Nuggets would be foolish to waste one of those years of an MVP in his prime and Michael Porter kind of rising to that all-star caliber level. So I do not envision them just punting on this season. I think they're going to go for it in some capacity and hope that Jamal Murray returns and is able to contribute when he does return.
We're talking with Mike Singer of the Denver Post. We don't have time to go back and forth, but I'll respectfully disagree with Westbrook on this front. Nobody thought James Harden could fit in with Irving and Durant. He is one of the most selfish guys out there. Not a good teammate from everything I read in Houston, okay? And he fit in just fine. He found a way. I think Westbrook will find a way playing with LeBron. Don't you? You don't? Or do you?
No, I mean, that's a good point.
He has a chance to win a title. Chance to win a title.
That's exactly it. Is as players get older in their careers,
right,
you can kind of start to consider, man, do I need to take my foot off the gas a little bit? Do I need to rely on some other guys? So, I mean, it's definitely intriguing, and it definitely adds a new skill set, and I think Russell Westbrook is absolutely an upgrade from Kyle Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell, which is kind of in the aggregate what we're looking at. But if you're comparing the deals, I just like the idea of adding this knockdown three-point shooter in Buddy Hield so that you can space the floor for your two bigs. But, I mean, it's definitely an upgrade. They are consolidating their star power. They're going to be pretty top-heavy. They'll be good in transition. But let's also talk about health status. Like, Russell Westbrook's not necessarily known for staying healthy.
Right.
And LeBron is getting up there in age, too. So,
right.
I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to it. I think, obviously, the Lakers will be in contention. We'll see what happens with Golden State tonight. But there are going to be a few teams in the West that are going to start mounting up, you know, those standings and try to contend for home court advantage, like I'm sure the Nuggets expect to do heading into next season as well.
Did not expect this news about an hour ago, brought you on to talk about the draft. So you're going to need someone to fill the void of Jamal Murray as a shooter. There has been talk, I've seen reports, Tim Conley might be interested in moving up. Is there somebody as a rookie who can step in immediately and shoot well? Because looking at the Nuggets' history, outside really of Jamal Murray, outside, they usually like to take their draft picks and put them on the shelf and then microwave when necessary. I don't know if that's going to be able to be the case for this year.
That's funny. They do have a track record of picking guys a year early,
right.
And that's partly because Michael Malone doesn't necessarily like to rely on rookies, and so he likes to get them into the system, have them learn the plays, have them, you know, dedicate themselves in the gym for a year, and then maybe get a shot. So I would expect something like that to happen with Zeke Nnaji, you know, first-round pick last year at that forward spot. I think that there's a number of shooters who are going to be available for them if they stay at 26. I know that there's been reports about the Nuggets trying to move up. I'm pretty suspect of that. I think the only way that they move up is if it's a substantial jump. I don't think there's any reason for them to move, say, four or five, six spots, because there is a glut of guards and guards who can contribute immediately if they stay at 26. The guys I'm referring to, Miles McBride from West Virginia, he's only about 6'3", but has about a 6'9 wingspan, can shoot the lights out, plays crazy on-ball defense. Trey Mann from Florida, good size, 6'4", can stretch the floor. There's Josh Christopher from Arizona State who can score with the best of them. And Bones Highland from VCU. I know that, you know, kind of just auditing the roster, where are they the weakest? They are the weakest in the backcourt, as we saw in that Phoenix series. So I think that there's going to be a number of options. And your guy, Quentin Grimes, good size, knockdown shooter from Houston. He might be there too. So as it stands right now, the Nuggets don't have a second-round pick. I'm curious whether they would move back into the second round if they saw someone dropping who they like. But listen, this is kind of Tim Connelly's bread and butter.
Yep.
The steals that he has found on draft night are still on the roster. I mean, they're littered. Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr., Monte Morris, deep in the second round. Like, this is where the Nuggets make hay. So, again, I'm not going to be shocked if they try to get back in the second round because they have their eye on somebody. They love scouting, and they trust their opinion of guys, and they, frankly, have a very good track record.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for your time. I'm going to put out a big tease for you. You know who Marcus Thompson is? I'm guessing you have met him more than a few times.
Yeah.
He just put out a big story on Bradley Beal, but I'm not going to talk to you about it. I'm going to tease it for the next segment. How do you like that?
That's great, and my gut is that he says that Bradley Beal is not going anywhere.
I'm not going to say anything because if I answer your question, Mike, this isn't the newspaper business where we bury the lead here, okay?
Got it.
Noted. Newspaper stuff, which I know you're smarter than I am, a better writer, and far better looking. I know what I'm doing in radio that I have to be able to tease this correctly.
You're way smarter than I am in this medium, so I'll let you do your thing.
Mike, thank you for your time. You are going to be one busy guy with the draft and then free agency. We look forward to having you on the show again.
Thanks so much. Have a good one, guys.
See you, man. All right, so there is some big news potentially by Bradley Beal. We will talk about it in the next segment. And what is the deal with Trevor Story? Some thoughts about him going to the Yankees? Well, the Yankees just made a big move that could keep Trevor Story here because the Yankees might not be shopping anymore. Who do the Yankees pick up at the trade deadline? That's next. I feel right just by your side.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
A lot of stuff going on in sports right now. I know it is Broncos training camp, but we have some news from free agency regarding the Avalanche. We have some news regarding the Nuggets potentially with the NBA draft tonight. And then we have some news with the Rockies with the trade deadline tomorrow. We will start it off with the Avalanche. Brandon Saad earlier today, he is gone. Signs a 5-year, $22.5 million deal with the St. Louis Blues. So what does Joe Sakic do? He goes out and signs Darren Helm to a 1-year deal, 14-year veteran. Previously played a lot of years with the Detroit Red Wings. He's not going to score like Saad, but he's a veteran. He wins faceoffs. He's good on the penalty kill. He's a nice piece, but you're not going to expect a lot of offense out of him.
You don't expect a lot of offense out of him, but this is twice in a row they managed to quickly replace somebody they lose. Of course, they lose Grubauer, trade for Darcy Kemper, somebody who maybe isn't all that the previous player was, although Kemper, if he stays healthy, could be the equivalent of Grubauer. But Joe Sakic, very good at pivoting when he loses somebody. Very agile. He's done a good job this week.
And we will talk to our friend Peter McNabb, who is one of the voices of the Avalanche, a little bit later on in the show. He will be joining us in about 35 minutes.
Peter always has a lot to say.
Okay. We will talk about the Rockies situation because there was some talk that the Rockies were having conversations with the New York Yankees. I don't know if the Yankees necessarily are going to be in on Trevor Story anymore after the Yankees have finalized a deal to acquire Anthony Rizzo from the Chicago Cubs. And that is a huge move. A huge move considering the Yankees have picked up Joey Gallo and now Rizzo in the last 24 hours, too high on base percentage lefties. And they're going to be playing that short porch in left field, or I should say right field, over in the Bronx.
Yeah, these are guys, like in the case of Gallo, for example, he strikes out a lot, but he walks a lot, and he's got power. So, and like you said, you're bringing in a couple of lefties into that lineup. The Yankees, at least at home, figuring that if they're going to punch their way back into contention, it's going to be by outslugging people at home.
Listen, the Yankees are 9 games behind the Red Sox in the American League East.
This is all about getting a wild card.
And 7 games behind Tampa, and Tampa just made a big move as well. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the Yankees lineup, I know this is a Denver sports talk show, I get it, but this is big national news. I'm sorry, it just is. That lineup for the Yankees: Rizzo, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Joey Gallo, Gary Sanchez. Will Trevor Story be added to that? I don't know if the Yankees are going to have much to give.
Well, the interesting thing is, though, you have, of course, the A's trade for Starling Marte from the Marlins early this week.
Right.
And it's the A's who are one of those teams that sit just ahead of the Yankees for that last wild card. Oakland 57-46, the Yankees 53-47. So they're within, you know, a couple of games of the A's. Do the A's feel the heat from the Yankee moves, and maybe do they enter the Trevor Story chat? Because one thing about the A's, they don't necessarily want to part with prospects.
Right.
But they do have a quality of prospects. If the Rockies have done their homework on the A's farm system, could intrigue the Rockies.
Okay, now the NBA draft is tonight. A lot of eyes are going to be on the Golden State Warriors. What are they going to do with the 7th pick and the 14th pick? Will they make a trade for someone like Dame Lillard? Does that make sense? Some people speculated they could use those 2 picks to package something for Bradley Beal. And the reason why I bring up Bradley Beal is Russell Westbrook, they are finalizing a trade. He is a backcourt mate of Bradley Beal in Washington. Westbrook is about to be, if it hasn't been made official yet, traded to the LA Lakers. So now it's going to be Westbrook, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. That is one hell of a threesome, and I don't see how those guys get beaten. I really, really don't. They probably won't have a lot of depth. We had Mike Singer on the show saying, I think NBA people were more afraid of Buddy Hield. I get it. He's younger, better shooter. And how is Westbrook going to fit in? Westbrook is going to fit in like Harden fit into the Nets. He knows he's at the tail end of his career. He wants to win. He's a triple-double guy over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. For the last 5 seasons, he has averaged a triple-double. He can do anything for you on the court. With that, Marcus Thompson, who writes for The Athletic, just wrote, because I thought maybe Bradley Beal is going to ask for a trade and maybe the Nuggets would be interested. And Marcus Thompson is reporting, from what I'm hearing, quote, Bradley Beal is opting to stay with the Washington Wizards. And then he will become an unrestricted free agent after this upcoming season.
Yeah, and you do wonder, though, if he opts to stay, if we don't revisit this conversation at the deadline next winter, because...
Oh, then they might deal him.
Then they might deal him. But again, if you're the Nuggets and Bradley Beal becomes available, whether now or then, you don't do it unless you are getting his John Hancock, or, as was said in Tommy Boy, the Herbie Hancock, on a new contract. Because if you're just if it's a rental, then you're not going to get the return on investment. And again, Bradley Beal might be happy with things today. Is he going to be happy with a team that... This was a team that struggled to be in the 4-team playoff with Russell Westbrook. What are they going to be without?
Well, now they have Kuzma.
Yeah.
Right? Now they have Kyle Kuzma. And they also will have Montrezl Harrell as part of that deal, and probably some picks as well.
It might be a push, but I don't think this is suddenly pushing them toward relevance. And to go kind of what you said on the Lakers earlier, what keeps them from winning? It's injuries. Right. I mean, and really, if you are in the West, you're trying to position yourself to be the number 2 in case age catches up to that big three and somebody is
If out. I am not mistaken, the GM of the Philadelphia 76ers is Daryl Morey. Is that correct?
That is correct.
It is correct, okay. Yes.
He used to be the GM of the Rockets. I was told many, many years ago, I was told many years ago by a very, very, very solid source, he said about Tim Conley, he is one of the worst GMs in basketball, and he doesn't know what he's doing. Well, Daryl, the trade proposal apparently that you put together today, according to reports, makes you the dumbest person in basketball history. Apparently, there was a report, not apparently, there was a report today, and maybe you can find it for me. I showed it to you earlier, that for Ben Simmons, Daryl Morey wanted this from the Golden State Warriors. A couple of players, the 7th pick, the 14th pick, some pick swaps, and some future first-round picks. For Ben Simmons,
yes,
who everybody watched in the playoffs and was afraid to shoot the ball. Who in the right mind would trade a bag of balls for Ben Simmons?
Yeah, Keith.
More or less all of that, Daryl.
Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer reported that the Warriors, quote, quickly turned down the offer.
What are you, nuts?
The quickly probably included about a 30-second pause on speakerphone for them to hit the mute, to hit the hold button and laugh.
Right.
Uncontrollably. I mean, who in their right mind would give up that for
a guy who's afraid to shoot the ball?
Great defensive player.
Great
defensive
player. Afraid to shoot the ball.
Yeah, he's not just a bag shooter. He doesn't want to shoot.
Right. Right.
You can play 5-on-4 against the Sixers because you know Ben Simmons doesn't want the ball.
What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
An interesting story out of New York, not involving the Yankees and all the trades they're making at the deadline. We'll also talk about a piece from Zach Seegers on milehighsports.com and some of the Broncos likely to become fan favorites in camp. That's next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew. But then I
know it's growing. Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, New York Jets have officially signed rookie QB number 2 overall pick Zach Wilson to his rookie deal, 4-year, $35 million contract. He skipped 2 days of camp while he was working out the details with the team. Coach Robert Saleh said he wasn't worried about the stalemate being a disruption to the Jets, but it's more concern for the kid. Every rep is important, so my concern is that it's 2 days too many for him to miss. Do you think that any of his teammates are going to have a similar mindset as Coach Saleh and hold something against this rookie who has yet to play any NFL games and was just worrying about getting his contract right before getting started in practice?
Not one bit.
This is going to be
for business.
This is going to be forgotten within the next 2 days.
And every single guy on that team is never going to comment on somebody else's money. That is just a code in this league. You get what you can because you only get a chance to play so long.
And there's another thing. I mean, I think you and I have been around sports long enough. We remember when holdouts were common.
Yep.
Well into training camp, even in the regular season.
That's nothing.
This is bupkis.
Yep.
Just in case you missed it, Zach Seegers of MileHighSports.com posed a question in one of his stories regarding training camp, and I was wondering what your take on it was, Eric and Andrew. He asks, which three Broncos are most likely to become fan favorites at training camp? So I don't know if you've observed any who are already emerging as fan favorites since there were fans at practice today. I'll tell you Zach's, but I was wondering if you'd like to tell me some of your thoughts first on fan favorites at camp.
I'll give you one right away, Trinity Benson. But I think he's been with the Broncos since Shanahan was the coach. I mean, he's been with this team forever, it feels like, doesn't it?
It's his third year, I believe.
I know, it feels like forever, but he's been good.
There are always receivers and running backs.
Yep, because they're skill position players.
And they make plays and
they see them.
They flash and people cheer. So every year there's a receiver that fans fall in love with. There's somebody that's a running back. Remember Xavier Oman?
Yep.
Back in, I believe, 2012, 2013. There's always a guy like that they
training camp darling is what we call it.
Yes,
there's always a training camp darling.
So, and they're usually all, like you said, they're usually offensive skill guts.
Right, and you know people say minors because he's the belly. Well, he actually showed his belly today, as they say in the pregnancy business. He was showing today.
Yeah,
and it was
a little bit of a rough day for him as well.
Right,
like there was the pass rush was good, but Vic Fangio and the defense, they were testing Miners and Lloyd Cushenberry.
Right.
Miners looked at times like a guy who was trying to go from Division III to the NFL.
Right.
Basically, this is probably going to be a redshirt year for Miners, and that's okay.
Who does Zach have?
Seegers said Jerry Jeudy, no surprise on that one, Draymond Jones, and Justin Sternad.
Justin Sternad, I can see.
They actually used him in pass rush today, and he had some pressures as well.
Gotcha. Gotcha. By the way, Peter McNabb will not be joining us. I just got a text from him. He had a family thing that he had to tend to. So, but we have something that I do want to get to at 5:15, so I might as well tease it right now. Melvin Gordon had some interesting things to say about competition at camp, specifically talking about Philip Lindsay from last year. I think it took all of us a little bit off guard what he said. You'll hear from him at 5:15 coming up after the break. You are going to hear about what happened with the quarterback battle. And honestly, it was one-sided. Both Andrew and I were there. I was on the sidelines. He was watching up top. Our observations were the same. With that was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you can go to any store and try out the appliances before you buy them. Not to mention their sales staff is good as it gets. They can help you redesign your whole kitchen or get you something to just, I don't know, fit your budget. How's that? Some people need stuff to fit their budget. Other people want to go all out. You can do both at Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, what happened with the quarterbacks? That's next. Plays by intuition, the digit counts as ball, that death on the battlefield, sure plays a meme.